read the first 6 verses tonight, and you can stay seated if you want. I don't have a preference either way, really, any night, but if it means something to you, feel free to stand if you need to stretch, but no need to. Hebrews chapter 11 says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh." And here is our character for tonight. We've looked at him once before. "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as we've opened your word, that we might open our hearts, we might receive what you have for us, we might be challenged in this Christian walk, that we might be found pleasing to you. Meet with us. Continue tonight, we'd ask in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah. Thus far in the book of Hebrews, we've spent a long time looking at this first 10 chapters or so, where the author lets us know who it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's so much better. Then he comes down to chapter 10 and says, here's what you're going to do. Draw nigh to God. Hold fast to the things of God. Help somebody else do the same thing. And he said, here's how you do it. Remember some things. Recall some things. Have compassion for those that are in it with you. And then he gave us a couple of ingredients of what we're going to need along the way. He instructed us that we're going to need faith and patience. In chapter 10, you have need of patience. Chapter 11 is all about faith. Now in chapter 11, he gives us this whole chapter here of others who have done what he has taught successfully. They made it to the end. Not many of them not obtaining the promise yet, but having the faith and the patience that God would come through. So he's instructed us, he's given us those ingredients of what we're going to need to walk through life, patience and faith. Without it, we faint in the day of adversity. Without them, we cannot know, we cannot please God. I know you know that tonight, but our race is often an unseen one. And our walk is with an unseen God. You can look around into society, into nature, into your own life, and see the evidence of God, the substance of faith. But it's with an unseen God, and oftentimes the tangible, the temporal, cloud our spiritual vision and hinder our race, because it's with an unseen God, and it's an unseen race in great part. So God knew, I think, clearly, we'd need an object lesson. We'd need a visual aid or a tangible illustration of some kind. So he says in chapter 12, the beginning part there, I've given you a whole cloud of witnesses. We like to say those are all our loved ones that are in heaven cheering us on. Maybe that's part of it. Clearly he's referring to chapter 11. This is the great cloud of witnesses. Those that are taking that witness stand in court, if you will, one after another, saying, I'll testify. It works. I'll testify if you walk and run with patience and faith, you will please God. Saint after saint in these stories. And they would testify that what God has called and commanded the believer to do, he equips us to do. And the description here in verse number 5 of Enoch is that he pleased God. You say, how does he please God? Well, in Genesis 5, it said he walked with God. So the whole idea from the example of Enoch is that we are to please God by walking with God. And there are 2 different Enochs in the Bible. That's why Jude, and we'll get there in a few moments, says Enoch the 7th generation from Adam, because Cain also had a son named Enoch. And Cain's son named Enoch, he named cities after him and had a name that was known upon earth. And Seth had an Enoch in his lineage that was known of God. And we have the same command to walk with and please God by patience and faith. And I would say by introduction, regardless of the carnality of this current generation, we can walk with God. Regardless of the corruption of the culture around us, you can walk with God. Regardless of the compromise that is in most of the churches today, you can walk with God. Titus said it this way, and we looked at it last Wednesday, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Because that's just so hard. And
everybody is changing and everything has been compromised, then ignore everybody else and everything else and walk with God. Titus said you can live right in the present generation that you're in Titus 2:12. He tells us how in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Amen.
The authors of the scriptures, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said, when you understand like Enoch understood, that I can walk with God and one day I'm going to be translated from this land to another and my focus is on the blessed hope that is to come, that I will walk right and I will be busy for God.
Good.
How did Enoch please God? He walked with him by faith. He received a word from God, that warning that judgment was coming. He believed that word from God and he lived in light of it. He lived according to it. I'd like to submit two things tonight for consideration, that walking with God in order to please God. One is that walking with God means privately standing with God or privately walking with God. The other is walking with God means publicly standing for God or walking with God. Landon, we're not going to whisper in church. Enoch pleased God simply because Enoch walked with God. And we'll look at it. But the majority of Christianity for too long has been comfortable or content with publicly walking with God or standing for God with no private life walking with God. Enoch got a word from God that judgment was coming, and Enoch understood that day is quickly coming, that the appearance of godliness, the appearance of a walk with God will not stand. And Enoch pleased God because Enoch walked with God. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? We know in our own relationships we can't do that. Half the time we can't agree with ourselves. Or our spouse or our parents or our children. We cannot walk together unless there is an agreement, unless there is a unity. And Enoch could only walk with God because there was a point in his life Enoch began to agree with God. And from that moment till he was translated, every decision he made, every detail in his life was in agreement with God. He simply let God be God and agreed with God on whatever God said.
Amen.
There's some other historical writings. I'll hesitate to mention what they are tonight because I have to research them a little more. But other historical writings that talk about Enoch. Different books that were written that aren't considered scripture. And when they describe Enoch, they said Enoch was wrapped up in the instruction of God. And Enoch wanted God's steps ordering his life. He wanted God's direction for his life. And he simply, if you can look, think of it in a silly illustration, found the recipe that God had for him. And he followed that recipe exactly and achieved the promised result. He did not approach that recipe for life and selectively pick out the ingredients he wanted and then get mad when the dessert or whatever it would be turned out bad. He walked with God because he agreed with God. He was wrapped up in God's instruction. Can I say it this way? It's nothing new. You'll never walk with God outside of private time in the Bible. Reading and studying and meditating the Word of God. Not to check a box. I try to regularly, routinely read through Proverbs and Psalms and other books. Whether I go to the Scriptures and say, God, I want your mind on the matters of life. Reading and studying and meditating, what is the mind of God on this matter? And then agreeing to walk however He dictates in that matter. We can say it this way, if there's areas of our life that are out of alignment or out of agreement with God's word, we are not walking with God. I may appear to be walking with Him, but I'm not walking with Him in agreement. I've walked up to the buffet and said, I'll take some of the bacon and some of the biscuit and gravy. You can keep the fruit. And that's how I eat on vacation. Forget that. That's how I just eat. And I mean, that might be fine physically for a while. You say, I got all the appearance of godliness. How long did the disciples walk with Him and still come away lacking? God's only walking one way. Isaiah calls it the highway of holiness. If I'm going to get on the way that God is going and agreeing with God, there's only one way God goes, and it's the highway of holiness. Where every step of that road, every mile of that highway is set apart from sin or selfish ambition. If you were to look at the path you're on, look at the highway you're on, and it cannot be described with the word holy, you're not walking with God. Just trying to be practical. You say, I look back over my daily decisions, look back over my life in recent weeks and recent months, and you really couldn't use the word holy. Then you were not walking in agreement with God. That I was not walking in agreement with God. God only goes one way, and it's holy. And God is not going to alter His course to appease me. And God is not going to change who He is to be like me. And we've talked about clay on Sunday and working with clay and how it's to rot a work means you're influencing it, you're shaping it, and how mankind has done that to God, if you will. They have taken the very best of man and they have lumped it all together and fashioned it and influenced it and shaped it and formed it where the end result was a God who lives like I live and loves like I love and likes the same things I do. God's not going to change to be like me. God is not going to alter His course to an acceptable highway. His highway is the highway of holiness. And that writing I was reading described Enoch as being wrapped up in the instruction of God. But then it also said that Enoch was known that he secreted or he concealed himself from man. He made sure he was alone with God. Enoch knew I need God to do a work on me. I have been shown, Enoch could say, the judgment that's on the way. And he knew time for faking it was coming to a close, that only a real walk with God would bring lasting results. In Isaiah, it says it this way. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He says, that's what I want. I want to prepare that way of the Lord. I want the Lord to come in all of His glory. It says this, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Someone's got to understand, if I'm going to stand in these last days, I must be wrapped up, saturated in the Word of God, in agreement with God, being alone with God, because I need God to do something to me I can't do to myself. That there's low places, there's insufficiencies, there are valleys that God has to build up. There's high places of pride I need God to break down. There's crooked paths in my life where I strayed. I need Him to make it straight. There's rough edges that only He can smooth out. Isaiah said, if you want God to agree with you, agree with God. If you want that highway, if you want God's presence and God's glory, God's touch on your life, it takes some preparation. Enoch was known for agreeing with God. He couldn't have walked with Him unless he did. Of concealing himself, getting away from mankind, and getting alone with God. The only way that work is done where the high is made low enough and the low is built up is a personal, private walk with God. Constant communication with God in prayer. I'm not talking about being a monk and buying 100 acres in the middle of nowhere and just going living like a hermit. That's my dream job. I'm working on it. Just wait for my dad to tip over, and hopefully I'm in his will with his camp up in... No, let's hope that's at least a year or two down the road.
Yeah.
That's horrible. As he takes a road trip tomorrow. Where I'm in constant communication with God. There's a reason the scriptures say pray without ceasing. I'm not saying, well, you're a monk and you're saying all these just ritualistic things over and over and over and over and over again where God pukes over it. Where I am in a spirit of constant communication and prayer with God, checking in with God, He can check in with me, and constant study and immersion in the Scripture. Because to walk with God is a walk of separation. It's the highway of holiness. And my generation has grown up, and they have labeled all the Baptists and everybody else, and I guarantee, we won't get off on those rabbit trails tonight, I have a bone to pick with most of the Baptists too. Well, you're just a bunch of legalists, and they don't know what the word means. Legalism means I add works to how I get saved. Legalism doesn't mean I have holy standards in my life. Not the message. But this walk, I want to walk with God. You can't unless you start agreeing with God. where I'm saturated in prayer, saturated in the Word of God, and I agree with whatever God says, and I do it. I receive His Word, I believe His Word, I live His Word. But life, this walk of holiness, this walk of separation, is not just a list of don'ts. People point at consecrated, devoted Christians and say, oh, it's just thou shalt not, and don't do this, and don't do that. It's all just a list of all the things I can't do. Can I tell you this? When you start walking with God and agreeing with God and wanting to please God as your only motive, the list won't matter anymore. Because you'll know I can't walk with Him unless I agree with Him, and there's nothing worth my walk with Him. I don't have this guardrail, this fence of holiness to prove that I'm better than anything or anybody else. But what I have in here is so valuable, I want to protect it with high walls of holiness. There's a reason Nehemiah goes back and builds a wall. Because Zerubbabel and Ezra and those guys had already come back and rebuilt the temple. And had found the Word of God. And they started worshiping God again. And somebody said, if you want to enjoy that worship for a long time, you better protect it. Walking with God means privately standing with God. Privately walking with God. And then secondly, walking with God means standing or walking publicly for God. Enoch's life was not just a private faith. I think this is so relevant. It's important for today because the temptation is strong, and I feel it, and you might as well. That, well, this is my faith, this is my life, it's my choice to live by the Bible, to embrace Christianity, but I can live and just let live. That's not scriptural. Where it's good for me, but I wouldn't want to be confrontational with them. I want to point out to them, that crowd, this crowd. That's not Bible. Enoch did not just walk privately and quietly with God. He walked publicly and boldly for God. In Jude 1, it explains that Enoch was a prophet. It says, Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all. This is what Enoch says. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. That's not a popular message. I mean, 7 generations in, how bad could the world have gotten? Pretty bad. That God told Enoch, I'm going to destroy this whole thing with a flood. He names his son Methuselah. In the day that he dies, it shall come. In the year that Methuselah dies, the flood came. And Enoch said, I have walked with God. I have agreed with God. I have saturated myself in the presence of God privately. And that has given me what I need to stand alone, boldly and publicly in a wicked and perverse generation and convince the ungodly of their ungodly way. He said, I understand judgment is coming and people need to be warned. He didn't reserve his faith just for his house or God's house. He knew that it needed to be public. But the only way to publicly stand is to privately walk. If you don't privately walk with God, you will not publicly stand for God when the price goes up. We've seen it the last 2 years. I don't want to get off of that tonight. But a private walk with God gave Enoch boldness for public ministry for God. There's a reason, this isn't in the notes, but it's on my mind, that there are some of our congregation that street ministry, knocking doors, passing out flyers, is the highlight of their life. There'd also be a reason that others would do anything to never have to be involved in that. If you can't publicly identify and stand for Jesus Christ, it's just evidence you don't privately walk with Him. A private walk gives boldness for public ministry. Elijah was told, go hide yourself. And then he was told, go show yourself. And too many, I can be there with the best of them, want to publicly stand without privately walking. And even in Enoch's day, and then in Elijah's day, it wasn't kosher to point out the wickedness of man and the solution for man. In 1 Kings 18, I think it is, Elijah's finally going to come out of hiding himself. He's had that great victory. I think he's in the cave now. He's going to come back and God tells him, go and show yourself. On 1 Kings 18, it says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troublest Israel? I mean, it wasn't very popular. It wasn't kosher, if that's the word. Here comes Elijah, and it wasn't, hey Elijah, we appreciate that that faith is good for you and that you believe that so strongly, but how you never try to influence our kingdom with it. Ahab said, here, what I'm thinking, you're the guy that's messing us up. And Elijah said, hold on, Hoss. I don't know if that's what he said, but that's what some of the southern preachers say, so it must mean something. Elijah said this, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. No. You say, what are you saying? Walking privately with God will empower me to walk publicly for God. But if I live my life just putting up a facade where I publicly and boldly and brassly will walk for God, but there is no private walk with God, that won't last. That doesn't help anybody. Because when I'm walking with God and agreeing with God, in lock and step with God, I'm walking each step of the day with God. That will put me out of step with culture. Society will disagree and will be disagreeable with that type of a walk. But you'll be in step and in agreement with God. But you can't be both. If I am walking step with this world and society and the compromised carnal Christians of this world, you are not in step with God. He said, can't we all just get along? No! Can't we just blend the two cultures? No! Can't we just live and let live? No! It goes contrary to the commands of Scripture.
Amen.
You say, why are you so passionate about it? Because the two cultures, the two worlds, if you will, we take our marching orders from two different kings.
Right.
There are two kingdoms in this world and they are at war. They cannot conform. They cannot assimilate. They cannot accommodate each other. And we have become that in our nation. I want to take the world and make it churchy. They're willing to talk about God if it's generic. We've talked about on Sundays, jewelry and gestures. And I want to take the church and I want to make it worldly. Bring in their standards and their sounds. I got family in this state that are doing it. I just want to reach the people where they're at. 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what are you saying? It's as simple as this. Since man fell, there's been a battle raging. Between God and Satan, good and evil, the principles of heaven and the philosophies of this world are at war. Genesis 3, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. So I'm just trying to stress to us tonight, if I'm going to publicly stand for God till the end with patience and faith, it's going to be a result of me privately standing with God. Only reason David ever stood against the giant and stood when family and foes attacked and accused and betrayed and his wife turns on him and his brother-in-law is the only one that stood with him to the end. And the only way he could ever face all the greatest hurts of his life and stand proud and bold for Jesus Christ is because as a little boy out in the field somewhere, he got to know God.
Yes, sir.
Every decision I make, every detail of my day should be made in agreement with God. Any decision I make, any detail I make in disagreement with God is made in agreement with his enemies. Every moment of my life, you say, is it? Is yours? Mine certainly isn't. Every moment of life should be lived in such a way that it shows whose side I'm on. James 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And let's not get too Baptist tonight. It does not say he who is friendly to people is the enemy of God. Yeah. I know the fundamentalists and they like to take the word fun out of fundamentalists. And you say, are you one? Let's not get off on that tonight. It does not say I have to go around treating this whole world like they're a bunch of enemies. And I hate you, and if I could do to you, I know preachers that do it. And they on live streams will advocate the death penalty for certain people. And some of them have gotten visits from their local sheriff, as they should. and said, you can't keep preaching that you ought to shoot sodomites with a shotgun and tell people they died of chicken pox because of all the red marks. That'll get you a visit from the law. And it should. But if I am on friendly terms with this world, I'm a friend of the world, I am not a friend of God. And somehow along, maybe it's longer than I've been alive, I don't know, the church has adopted this idea that we're supposed to get along. That I'm supposed to be liked. You say, oh, you're just your uncle's nephew, so that's why you don't. Can you tell I spent all day yesterday with Pastor Chuck Bard? No. John chapter 15 says this, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If your religion, your brand of Christianity is pleasing and palatable to this world, you are not pleasing to God. You see it on social media and stuff, whatever that saying is, that popular Christianity is not biblical, because biblical Christianity is not popular. And that's true. 2 Corinthians 6, to give you the verse, says this, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's not just talking about marriage for those of you who think it is. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Walking with God is a walk of separation. It is a highway of holiness. Or I will separate from anything and anyone who disagrees with God. If it's a foe of God, if it's a friend of mine, if it's family, if you disagree with God, I have to disagree with you. You don't have to say it like I'm saying it tonight. This is called preaching. You lift up your voice like a trumpet, the smiting of the thigh. But Joshua called them all together and said, hey, y'all want to go back? Go back. You want to stay here? Stay here. I can't do anything about all of you, but as for me and my house, we go that way, because that's the way God goes. It's a highway of holiness. The only way to walk on that highway is to have and be holy. Separate from anything and anyone who disagrees with God. Simply say, I'm going this way. Just the way our home's going. And if we're not agreed, unfortunately, we can't walk together. Publicly standing against what God stands against. And publicly proclaiming the judgment that is going to come. Our girls are working on, say girls, only my mid-30s. Some of these young adult ladies are like, I'm not a girl, I'm a woman. And like, I hate being called a young man, and I'm still being called a young man, but guys twice my age. But the ladies are working on a special about being a watchman, the blood that's on their hands. How can you see an enemy approaching a city if you're the watchman and just say, yeah. And they get close enough, everybody will notice it. How can you go down and see a house on fire and not stop and bang on a door and pick up a phone and call the fire department? If I privately walk with God, I will publicly stand for God. But that's the order. If all I do is try to stand publicly for God without privately walking with God, that won't last. And so if I stand against what God stands against and I publicly proclaim against the things that God stands against and the judgment that is coming, they won't like me very much. They don't have to. If you please God, it matters not who you displease. And if you displease God, it matters not who you please. And don't balance this thing with the scriptures, because he who walks with God and pleases God and gets that wisdom and discernment has the ability to even make his enemies be at peace with him. But this world is going to hell in a handbasket, I believe the saying is. Because the salt has lost its savor. And the church has pulled the shades and dimmed the lights and said, let's hunker down and hope they don't notice until the horn goes off. We are not to assimilate. We are not to be silent. Salt arrests decay. Salt preserves. Light is intended to expose and illuminate. We are to stand up and speak up for God and right. The power to do that comes from privately walking with God. I said it a few moments ago, but someone who cannot boldly stand for Christ has not been walking with Christ. He says, if I walk privately with Christ, I'll have no fear, no trepidation. Sure you will. Especially if you get out there and someone twice your size does walk up to you and say, keep standing over here and see what happens. That's when if I was any of you, I'd say, my pastor said he'd like to talk to you and let me take lead. And then I'll get behind the 6 foot whatever the Arcady boys and say, if you get through them, you get through. And they all take off running. I guess it's just me, but no, they're not here to defend themselves. I'm just saying, I would encourage you, because I'm open to being corrected, I hope. Do a study of the book of Acts in that early church. Every example of someone being filled with the Spirit is always accompanied with boldly standing for Christ. That's why I'm so passionate recently, I hope, in teaching and preaching on walking with God. And crucified living. Walking how God walks and walking where Christ goes, no matter what that path looks like. Because public religion without private relationship will not last. And I just wrote it that way because it's alliterated and it helps me remember it. But if all I have is a public show of religion, and I am not against religion. So I don't have religion, I have a relationship. I am for pure religion. But public religion without a private relationship will not last. If the Lord's return, I got to wrap this up, is not as nigh as we hope it is, paint bombs are going to be the least of our concerns. The day might come they torch the place. The day might come we get imprisoned for assembling. Or fines might be levied. But the command for the believer today doesn't change because of who likes it or hates it. The command for the believer doesn't change on how we're supposed to walk with God and please God privately and publicly because of peace or persecution. 2 Timothy, you know the verse that says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're seeing it. Deceiving and being deceived. What's our response? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was familiar with wicked times, with Corinth and other places, Ephesus. And he told a young preacher, a young Christian named Timothy, I know it's going to get bad. The world is going to get saturated with love of self and defiance and disobedience, deceiving and being deceived. And it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get more perverse. And when they draw a line and say, we want that as equal rights or we want this legalized, it'll never stop there. They're going to get worse and worse and worse. They're going to move farther and farther and farther from reality and from morality. And he said, what do you do about it, Timothy? You keep walking with God according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Micah 6. There's a hint if you ever want to know what my middle name is, because I won't tell you. It's not Michael 6. Micah 6 is just Micah. That'd be a weird middle name. What's your middle name? Micah 6. My dad's here. He's like, it's not Micah. Maybe I forgot. It's a Wednesday night. You want to wrap up this whole message, your whole life in a nutshell. God, the Holy Ghost, told Micah, put it down this way. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require? The church is going to stand for God and walk with God and agreement with God. We've got to stop taking a poll of what everybody else thinks about it. And what everybody else would like to see happen with it. What does God require? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. We are to walk privately with God and to walk publicly for God like Enoch. And one of these days, he's going to reach down and translate us. Same wording used in Thessalonians about catching those away one day into the clouds. That Enoch was said, he pleased me. Well, how did he please you? He walked with me. How could he walk with you? He agreed with me. And one day I reached down and said, I'm going to take him home. That's the church. We'll look at that more next Wednesday night about the picture of the church and the rapture and the life of Enoch. But it's a military term that he took him away. It means Enoch didn't get a vote on it. The world didn't get a vote on it. The devil didn't get a vote on it. When God's appointed time had come, God reached down and snatched him out. And the church is the same way. You walk privately with God. You walk publicly for God. And one of these days, God's just going to reach down and snatch us out. And no one's going to be able to stop it. He is coming for his own. Let's stop there for tonight and have